Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for a rainy Tuesday. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today I have faith and hope for your miracle tonight. Hallelujah. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in the power of God? Do you like such things? Hallelujah. You know, as I grow older, I am more and more thankful to God that I am a preacher. I am more and more thankful to God that I chose to be a pastor. That I chose to give my life to preaching the word of God. I had options. I chose to do the highest thing that anyone could do. Why is it the highest thing? Because it is the most valuable. Of all the things you will ever receive in your life, receiving the word of God is the most valuable thing. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. So receiving the word of God is the greatest thing. Having God come into your life is one of the greatest things that you could ever, ever experience. And I'm so glad. You know, sometimes people get older and they regret, you know, the way they went. And they feel, you know, I wish I had done secretarial course. I wish I had done science. I wish I had done arts. I wish I had done geography. I was good at drawing. Why didn't I do art? I wish I had done computer science. My friend who did computer science has more money than I do. I wish I had done computer science. I did physics. I didn't know that physics would not be as important as computers. By the time I finished school, I wish I had done computer science. I wish I had learned how to be a hairdresser. The other day I was telling my wife that I think one of the most important jobs in the world is hairdressing. Because you will never run out of people to do their hair. I've had seen it earlier. I'd advise a lot of people to be hairdressers. Because every woman does her hair. At least they do something to the hair. Even if it's not much, they attempt to do something. But I'm glad that I chose to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. The word of God is more important than biology. I said the word of God is more important than history. The word of God is more important than politics. The word of God is more important than political science. The word of God is the most important thing. And I'm glad I chose that for my life's work. I started, by the time I was 25 years old, I was a pastor. And I've been preaching since then. I have not gone to the left or to the right of that way. And I've been preaching since then. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Somebody said yes. Do all interpret? No. Verse 31. But covet earnestly. Zelu earnestly. The best. I said the best. How many want the best? Why should you want something that is not the best? The best gifts. And yet I show you unto you a more excellent way. Read. I see miracles. Listen, miracles are taking place in your life right now as I'm speaking. Do you believe in miracles? I want you to believe, because I myself don't understand why God blesses at a particular time on a particular day. But God has a way of changing your destiny in one evening. So I want you to believe in a miracle tonight. You will never go out of this place the same. Whatever you have been lifting up your eyes to heaven for, your enemies will be disappointed that God has promoted you. I said, God will prove them wrong in Jesus' name. Your enemies will be ashamed because God has lifted you up and put a smile on your face. I said, a smile on your face. I said, another smile on your face. And another smile on your face. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Tell somebody, I'm ready to smile. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Follow after charity. Follow after charity. Amen. Follow after charity. Are you there? And desire spiritual gifts. Amen. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Amen. Now, the Bible is saying desire spiritual gifts. God wants us to desire spiritual things. Now, I would say to you that probably the only time that desiring of these spiritual things is not helpful is when you are out of balance. You know, what do I mean? You know, there's a balance to everything. And some people are so natural that they can't experience the Holy Spirit. You know, they don't understand it. They don't want it. They don't enjoy it. They look at you from afar and they just wonder, what are you doing? What is this about? You know? And some people are so spiritual. And they are so spiritual. There's nothing wrong with being so spiritual, but they are so spiritual. And in addition to being spiritual, they do not add or use the natural aspects that God expects us to add to our lives, like common sense, you know, common sense. Common sense is sense which is commonly available to most people. It's not special sense that is available to scientists or doctors or professors or lawyers, but it's sense that is common, available to the normal person. And that means that it's available to you because it's common. And yet you don't use it, even though it's common. Just to think and to use your mind when you're supposed to use your mind. Common sense. If you are going to marry an Arab, you get it. and I have to say, you're going to get married to an Arab and you don't know how to speak. You don't know how to say it. When you marry this Arab, it's not that he's not a good Christian. He's a good Christian. But when he starts, Allahu Akbar, you don't understand what he's saying. And then you think that he's saying something against me. Tonight I know by word of knowledge that my husband spoke against me. You have to use word of knowledge now. Because you didn't use common sense, you have to use supernatural sense to now be breaking through your marriage. So the only time that these supernatural things become almost unnecessary sometimes is when we are way out at sea and everything is supernatural. Everything has a supernatural reason. I was talking to one guy who said, my wife has left me. I said, why has she left you? You know, she doesn't like me anymore. Why doesn't she like you anymore? I don't know. I said, what do you think is the problem? He said, well, I must be honest with you. I think it is marine spirits. Marine spirits, you know. And I said, marine spirits? Where are these spirits from? He said, well, we went to a certain church and they told us that marine spirits are influencing her. You know, and they said, we went to somewhere else. So, but now we've come to you. So I said, what do you want me to do? Well, he said, deliverance. We need deliverance from the marine spirits, you know. And I said to him, I asked him, listen, have you been sleeping with somebody else apart from your wife? Okay, it has happened, you see, but I said, look, you don't need deliverance from marine spirits. You need counseling. And you need to stop fornicating. Simple. And you want me to deliver you from marine spirits. Yeah, the marine spirits, you see them moving on their own. You see, so we are so superstitious and supernatural, and sometimes we leave the earth normal thinking. It's a common sense. Tell the person next to you, the sense is common, so use it. Eh? You get it? Just normal common sense should tell you that you need to do certain things. Amen. But unfortunately, most Christians don't even desire spiritual things. And that's why I'm preaching about these spiritual things. Because I believe that as the zeal within you rises, God is going to bless your life greatly. Let me tell you something. There is a way that seems right unto a man. There is a way that leads to prosperity. There is a way that leads to happiness. There is a road that leads to peace. I see you finding that road in Jesus' name. You must find that road for yourself. And some of us, we are walking on the road that leads to destruction and praying for a miracle on the road. So as you are walking on that road and driving and say, Lord, touch me. Lord, save me. Lord, bless my life. The thing is that you are on the wrong road. What you need to do is to get off that road and get onto another way. I said, there is a way that seemeth right. How many have ever driven on a road that seemeth right? And after some time, you realize that this way that seemeth right was not the way. Give me a wave offering if you have experienced something like that. God is saving you from every way that seemeth right and bringing you to the right way. I said the right way. I said the right way. And so one of the ways that leads to many things we are looking for is to desire good things that God has for us. Is to desire the right things. Instead of desiring money, car, house, visa, DVD, CD, and what? VCD, and whatnot. We should desire higher things. I don't care whether you are a businessman or a businesswoman or whatever. You know, desire good things. Hallelujah. Desire higher things. Because whilst desiring these other things, God can give you all the things that people are desiring and using their whole lives to search for. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? Are you listening to me? We all claim that the Lord is leading us and so on, but actually testosterone is leading us. You know testosterone? Testosterone is a male hormone that makes a man desire. And when they castrate you and you don't have it, then you become a eunuch. And when you become a eunuch, you don't have the desire anymore. You look at them, they are like trees. That's why they get eunuchs to bath queens. Queens are bathed by eunuchs. If you want somebody to bath you, you just get a eunuch and then he'll bath you in the house. He has no desire, no zeal, no interest. Because he knows zelu. A bezelu. He's just moving around. Are you listening to me? So you don't know. So even the decision as I'm going to get married, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Anyway, hallelujah. So, how many of you want to have eternal rewards? Most of us are looking for earthly rewards. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Amen? But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I said it's for a moment. I said it's for a moment. How many have had some afflictions in this world? Even a momentary affliction is working something good for you. He said it worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Every experience here has a weight over there in heaven. A glass of water to a prophet is different from a glass of water to a church member. And a glass of water has a certain weight over there. If you present it to a prophet or you present it, do certain things that are written in the word of God. So ladies and gentlemen, you must understand that every experience, some of us, you know, we are going through things that we don't want to go through. How many are going through some things that you don't want to go through? I mean, now. No, put down your hand. No, I'm not talking about in the past. I'm talking about now. Raise up your hand. The whole church. All right. I tell you something. All these light afflictions are working for you a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I mean, if you are a woman and you have a man as your head, what kind of affliction is that? What kind of affliction is that for a man to be your head? Sometimes a foolish man, sometimes an unspiritual man, sometimes a carnal man, sometimes a man who doesn't know the word of God, sometimes a man who is selfish. And what kind of burden is this? For such a thing to be your head and your leader, somebody who doesn't understand your language, when you cry, he thinks you are laughing. When you are laughing, he thinks you are crying.
When you are sleepy, he thinks you are awake. When you are awake, he thinks you are sleepy.
Now, when my wife is sleeping, sometimes I know that she's not sleeping. See that the sleep is not sleep. So I have some. The one thing that can wake her up is the baby. My voice doesn't wake her the same way that the baby's voice. Sometimes I'll say, hello, hello, hello. Then no sound. Then the baby will say, nah-ah. Then she, that she has risen from the dead. Say, wow. There is power in the voice of an infant. Hallelujah. But all the afflictions you are going through, all the problems you are going through, oh, the pain. How many have had some pain? Some broken hearts. How many have had some disappointments? I mean, when I say broken heart means that, you know, you were expecting things to go this way and it didn't go that way at all. But it went another way altogether. That's why you are disappointed. We call it in the Greek santribo. Santribo. It means that your heart is shattered, it's broken, it's leaking. Huh? Shaba. In the Hebrew, Shaba. It's crack. That's why you see older people, they look very cool, everyone. When people are shouting and jumping at wedding, they say, what experience has taught me? These young ones cannot know. Glory be to God. They say that they are very cool. And the children will be dancing. Hey, 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 hey. But they'll just be, hey. They have experienced some tribal. Their hearts are broken. Hope has gone out. Excitement has leaked out. Love is flowing out like a river. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Something is coming out every day. No more hope. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the preachers. When you come here with your broken heart, when you come here with your santribo, and it hasn't worked out in your marriage, it hasn't worked out at business, it hasn't worked out at home, it hasn't worked out in so many ways, you come to church and you receive an infusion of hope and power. And even though your heart is leaking, at least you can top it up and it will keep going till Sunday. By the time you come on Sunday, you'll still have some life in you. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Top up. I see God topping up. He's topping up your hope and topping up your faith and topping up your love and topping up your excitement. Sometimes we come to church and we are down. And God, how many have realized sometimes after church there's some energy, the problems are the same, the situations are the same, but there's some small energy and there's a spring in your step. Give the Lord a shout of praise. And you see, there is nobody who can do that for you. Your school teacher cannot do that for you. Your boss at your work cannot do that for you. Your managing director cannot do that for you. Your husband cannot. Even your husband cries, shouldn't talk at all, because when he talks, things get worse. Your wife cannot do that for you. Nobody can do that for you. But I know somebody. I said I know somebody. When he touches your heart, that's why we need laying on of hands. You see, that's why we also pray for people. Because you see, sometimes when we preach, you know, sometimes we have to lay hands on you so that the broken heart, the santribo will be healed a bit, because the leakage is so much that all the word goes up, shrew, it comes up, shrew, it comes up. So sometimes we lay hands on you so that there will be some small patching. Have you been to the vulcanizer before? Where you see that he's fixing your tire and he's trying to keep the thing, he's trying to keep some of the gas in there. And sometimes when you come to church and even hands are laid, people don't even know what the use of laying of hands. But the laying of hands is to transmit power. One time, God gave me a vision. And in the vision, he showed me the inside of me. He opened my. What do you call this place? Your chest, your sternum, whatever. And when he opened it, there were three cables. Have you seen the big cables that go on the high tension? And it was in the high tension power cables. And the Lord said to me, I have put exceedingly great power into you. If only some people can tap into that power, the power will flow into them and destroy every work of the enemy. I see you tapping into that power in Jesus' name. Jesus came to walk amongst his own. Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received. There are always some people who receive. 1,000 may not receive. But I tell you, there are always some people who receive. Who have the heart and the mind and the spirit to open themselves and receive. One time, the Lord gave me a vision. Do you believe in visions? Do you want visions in your life? Do you want to become a preacher for the Lord? I'm going to show you something very powerful, I tell you. Do you want something powerful? Father, bless your people right now. Touch their heart, touch their lives, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Open their spirit to receive, oh God, all that you have, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. I see 7 people building new houses. In Jesus' name. One time, I was sitting there. So I don't know whether it was a vision or a dream. And then suddenly the Lord showed me. Somebody came to pour oil on my head. Then he asked me to stretch out my hands. And he anointed my hands. And that was it. He said, there's power in it. There's power in it. Power for somebody. Power for some people who believe. He said, he came unto his own, by his own receiving, but as many. There are always people somewhere who have the ability to receive. Many people don't understand the concept of hands. Laying on of hands. Laying on of hands is different from all the other kinds of ministrations. It's the most solid one. Turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 3. Do you believe in such things? Do you want such things? Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, and his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Habakkuk. Some people are still finding. You keep finding, because I need you to get there before I get there. Have you found Habakkuk? If you can't find it, look to between Corinthians and Ephesians. Have you found it? I love the power of God. Lift your hand and say, I love the power of God. I love the glory of God. Hallelujah. Listen. Are you there? Have you found it now?
Yes.
Okay. Notice verse 3. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Verse 4. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand. And there. Everybody say there.
There
where? There was the hiding of his power. There, right in the hands of the Lord, was the hiding of the power. Right in the hands of God is the hiding of his power. And that is why laying on of hands is a basic doctrine of Christianity, because right in the hiding of the hands In the hands is the hiding of his power. There is power in laying on of hands, in the touch of faith. The Bible says horns were coming out. Horn is always a symbol of strength. A goat's strength is in the horn. A cow's strength is in the horn. The horn is a sign of strength and of authority. The horn is the defense. The horn is the power. And he said there were horns in his hand. And in the hand, there was the hiding of his power. Because the horns, which is the sign of the strength, were hidden in the hand. As you are in the house of God, have faith in the laying on of the hands of the man of God upon your life. Because there is the hiding of the anointing, the hiding of the spirit, the hiding of the power of God to change your life. Do you believe in such things? You see, we are talking about preaching. Sometimes we preach and it goes and it comes out. Sometimes you need hands to be laid on you so that your heart can be healed. So that you can receive and experience hidden power. I said hidden power. So God is raising us up. And back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, I hope you've not lost 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We just branched off when we read verse 17, but actually we were going to verse 18. On our way there, we met a discussion. So verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen. How many of us can say we look not at the things which are seen? Most of us are looking at the things which are seen. I feel the power of God in my hand, I tell you. Somebody is going to receive a blessing tonight. There was the hiding of his power. Receive it in the name of Jesus. While we look not at things which are seen. But how many of us look at things which are seen? When a man of God comes and he's sweating, you just assess him. You just look at him upside up and down. And you see that the man is a hustler. Because you look at things which are seen. But Paul said, while we look not at things which are seen. But at the things which are not seen. That's what we also look at. From today, begin to look at things that are not seen. I said, from today, begin to look at things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means they are temporary in their nature. They are transient. They are here for a season. But the things which are not seen are eternal. While we look not at the things which are seen, we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. What are you looking at today? You know, when God is calling some of us here to be pastors. Me, I'm preaching. You know, because God has showed me that, you know, I should preach for eternity. You see, when Jesus Christ finished preaching, where was his church? Which Bible school did he build? Where was the fruit of all his hard work? What was there to see? Nothing. Who was standing at the cross? John. Mary, his mother. And of all people, you know, at least send somebody decent. Mary Magdalene. These were the three people at the cross. So Jesus Christ, well done. You have been able to preach and they've killed you. And right on your dying day, everybody has scattered. You stand alone with a youngster, with your mother. We know she will never leave you. And with Mary Magdalene. For all men to behold and despise. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What are you looking at, my brother? That is what is guiding you. But an evangelist can never be guided by things which are seen. But by things which are not seen. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings and that preach the gospel of good news to the whole world. How beautiful, how lovely on the mountain are the feet of them that bring good news and that preach good tidings of eternal things. How beautiful are the feet. As we go around proclaiming, what is the use of all that we have done? You see, we are so concerned about, you know, we have to have a church building here. We have to see something here. We have to see that, and we have to see that. And that is why we don't love evangelism. Because after evangelism, it looks like you have wasted your time. Because very few people actually follow you from the evangelistic crusade to come to your house and to come to the church. And it doesn't look like there's much fruit when you evangelize and when you become an evangelist. And that is because you are looking at things that are seen. You're looking at things that are seen. Your whole life is based on what you can see, what you can hold, what you can touch. But he says, but whilst we look not at the things which are seen, from today lift up your... You see, some of you say, why we look not at things that are seen, but at things that are not seen. Say, yes, Lord, I'm seeing those demons that are affecting my business. Oh, this is what I'm talking about now. It's like I look at things that I see. I've seen certain demons and certain witches are moving in my life, and things that are not seen are working against me. You know, he's talking about eternal things. He's talking about things that have eternal value. God is calling you today to become a higher type of person. You will eat, you will drink, even when you are very poor and when you don't have. All of us here, none of us is like a skeleton. All of us, we don't have the money we want to have. We don't have the car we want to have. We are sweating when we don't want to sweat. And yet, none of us have grown so lean. Look at us. We are here, juicy and rounded faces. We are surviving. By all means, you will eat. By all means, you will drink by the grace of God. But what are you looking at? God is raising you up today. He's raising up your eyes. He said, lift up your eyes. Pastors, I want to encourage you. Sometimes there are pastors listening to me. Don't be discouraged when you don't see anything. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. God knows the things that are... Look at Paul. Apostle Paul. He preached all his heart out. You read the story, how he blasted the churches. Raising up, because say, you, if anyone come, I'm so surprised that you are so quickly removed from the truth. I'm surprised. Look at how he faced the Galatians. Look at how he faced the Corinthians. I hear that there are fornicators amongst you that even so much as so should not be mentioned that somebody is sleeping with his mother. Amen. Wild things were happening. Mark and avoid this person. This one has done it. People turning against him. He had to write letters. John had to write letters. People said this man exalted himself. He loved the preeminence. Oh. At the end, he was a prisoner. And he went. Bound. That's why we are going to begin a very strong prison ministry. Because two of the most prominent prisoners of all time. One is Jesus Christ. And the other one is Paul. Two of the most prominent prisoners of all time. Jesus, the prisoner. Paul, the prisoner. Counter back. And Sawam. Ashafort. Jamestown. Jesus Christ. Jesus was a prisoner. Jesus went to jail. Paul went to jail. Paul was in jail for a long time. He was a captive. He was taken. He was exported. He was an exported. When they were exporting cotton and pineapples and other things, they added Paul as an export to Rome. Transported. And they wanted to kill the prisoners and throw them into the sea with their chains. But that was Paul preaching. What did Paul have as he died alone in a dungeon? I pray one day I will be able to go to Rome. Because there are places all over Rome. This is where Paul died. This is the prison that he had. And you can see all those things there. I pray one day I'll be able to see that. But what did he have when he died? And that is why he said, for the light affliction. The troubles that he had in this world. Some of us, the problems we have, they are from our foolishness. It's different from Paul's kind of troubles. Lack of common sense. But he said, I'm looking at eternal things. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm looking at eternal things. Eternal things. How beautiful for to have somebody who will come to a village where no one cares. I that's why I love Reverend Steve Mensah. Well, the villages that he goes to and the towns that he goes to, there's no money you can get from such a place. There's nothing. You're just going to preach and you come back tired, empty, dry, broke. We went for a crusade. When we were coming back, the truck, or even on the way, the truck went and fell inside the forest. Even they were lucky that there was nobody there. The whole axle broke and everything inside the bush. The engine came out of the car. What do you get? The crusade, they can't even take offering. When they take, it doesn't even reach 1 million. And the bill for that will be more than 30 million. What is the reward? Well, we look not at earthly things, at things that can be seen, but at things that cannot be seen. Today, God is saying to you, lift up your eyes and see. We have so many lighthouse pastors. What about lighthouse evangelists? I said, what about lighthouse evangelists? I said, we have so many pastors, but where are the evangelists? Crusade after crusade after crusade. Place after place, standing on the street corner witnessing. Today, people don't even know how to witness. The only thing they know how to do is to invite you to a church. Amen. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. Everybody say preaching. Preaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They were scattered abroad. This is what the Spirit is saying. There are many, many people scattered abroad, scattered all over the world, scattered in Ghana. And that says the Lord that I need people who will go to the many souls that are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. May you be moved with compassion, with the compassion of the Lord, so that you will have an eternal weight of glory, so that you will have an eternal reward one day in heaven. Hallelujah. The Bible says it is a faithful saying in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at that, please. 1 Timothy. I want to read these verses to you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It says, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's all read it, please. I want you to find it in your Bible. Some of us don't know the things that are in the Bible. These are things that are in the Bible. It said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into this world principally to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That is why he came. That is why he came. He didn't come for us to have our weddings in a church. He came to save sinners. Sinners that are scattered abroad. And God is saying to you today, he is calling you to a great calling. If you will yield yourself, and if you will allow yourself to be used by the Lord, there will be evangelists who today are not known by anyone as evangelists, but who will be raised up as mighty prophets and servants of the Lord. I was talking with Bishop Duncan Williams. He was telling me about a vision that he had in when he went to heaven, and of many other things that he saw. But one of the things that struck me was he said that they pointed out to him a house on a hill. And they said, that house is T.L. Osborne's house. He'll be coming to occupy that mansion. It was a mansion. He said, he'll be coming to occupy that mansion soon. They prepared him. You know, when you go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, you see many men of God there who have done many things. But one of the people that it would be interesting to see is T.L. Osborne's former office. Because he built his office and everything, and at the end of it, he just dashed it to somebody's, Billy Joe Daugherty's church. He just gave the whole thing to the church. But when you go there, there are some two rooms that are dedicated to his things, you know, in the building. When you go, you see the pictures. And they have the pictures, long pictures like that. Crusades after crusade after crusade. Ghana, Nigeria, different countries of the world, campaigns, India, Bangladesh, wherever. And you see the campaigns the man has conducted all over the world. And he was not even known in America. He's not a known man of God in America. While we look not at things that are seen, but are things that are not seen. And he has been to so many harvest fields preaching. I was not surprised when Bishop Nick told me, he said, they showed him a house. He said, that is for that man. A mansion. May you also have such a mansion one day in heaven. God will look after you. You know, as people get older, sometimes, one time I went to a certain elderly couple's house, millionaires, they are rich people. They are so old. And I look at their furniture, some old furniture. I look at the way their house, well, the walls, this one's like this, this one's chaired like this, this one's become like that. Then I look at the designs, ancient designs. Ancient designs. Then I look at them, I know the amount of money that they have. But they look at it, they realize that they don't even have the interest to change all those things. That this is my house, this is my chair, this is how it is. I'm here and I'm happy, I'm okay. What else can I do in this world? The only main thing that is waiting is eternity. I can change here and change here and change here. Still, you are still on earth. What eternal weights are awaiting you? God will give you. Look, I prophesy to you. You see, even by doing nothing, stay hanging around, God is going to bless you and God is going to take care of you. Just by hanging around. You know, sometimes even when you don't, by moving with a crowd, you are blessed. You fall into the shadow of the blessings. God will bless you. Forget about money. Forget about the search for this and the search for that. I never look for a wife. You know, I was talking to some men the other day, and I was telling them that, you know, some of you are not attractive to women. There is no attraction about you. That is why when you propose, nobody wants to marry you. You propose, nobody wants to marry you. Because they ask you, what do you do? You say, oh, I am a spare parts dealer at Abosokan. They ask you, what do you do? You say, oh, I sell this and this at this place. What do you do? So I work at this place. You know, and you are there dry and hard. You know? But I tell you, if you take a brother and you ask him, what are you? So I'm a student. But what does it do? I'm a shepherd. You know, I'm the shepherd in charge of this and I'm the shepherd in charge of that. Suddenly there is a certain attraction and a certain stability about the person. That is different from you with your spare parts and your nails that you are selling at Timber Market. There's some surety about the person. There's some assurance. There's some stability. You know what the Bible says? He said that in Songs of Solomon, he says, thy name is like ointment poured forth. And because of the ointments, the virgins do love thee. You see, virgins are attracted to ointments, to the anointing. And they see the anointing, so that this is stability, this is strength. So when there's no anointing, one drop self, oil, nothing, word, shelly, nothing, you don't know anything. It's like there is no future in you. You don't have spiritual eyes. Your whole life is, it's true. A young man who is 21 years old, but who is spiritual and has the word of God, and he's somebody who can turn to the, you see, he's more like a rock, he's more like a stable something upon whom you can build, upon whom you can depend. He may only be 19 years old, but he's like somebody who is 35. He may only be 25 years old, but he's like an elderly man. You are trying to win a woman's heart by giving money. And then you say that the women of today, they like money. Let me tell you a secret. Can I tell you a secret? Any woman that you have to win with money, dangerous woman. Because what will you do when your money gets finished? Money cannot, has not, and will never buy love. Money does not buy love. What money can buy? Prostitutes are available for money. They will render a service, but they will not give you their heart. When you see a prostitute jumping on the bed, and you say, okay, I was talking to one guy who was very experienced, he's been going to a lot of prostitutes, he was telling me, you know, he said that a normal style is 10, he was mentioning the price, and then any extra style is... listen. Listen to me, please. Are you there? And he was telling me all these things that they've been doing. And as he talked, I realized something, that you can pay for the person to do this and to do this, but you can't win the person's heart. Their heart is not with you. You cannot buy somebody's heart with gifts. Anybody who likes me because of something that I give you, I'm even afraid of you, because one day when the things I have to give are finished, then it means your love for me is also finished. Anointing is even attractive. See a brother who can open his Bible and speak the word of God and say something and relate with you the word of God and minister the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody who has applied the word of God in his life. And you'll find a stable person, because the word of God will teach you what to do. But just money. What is money? What is money? Money can get wings and fly away. There are people who have been rich and today are poor. And there are people who are rich. Bible calls it uncertain riches. Uncertain. For that is not certain. Uncertain riches. You can't buy somebody's heart with money. Me, when I was in a relationship, I didn't give my beloved money. No, I didn't buy shoes for her. I didn't buy dresses for her. I loved her. And she fell in love with my love. God so loved the world. Love is a very powerful thing. Bible says love never fails. Love never fails. Anyway, we are talking about evangelism, not marriage. Huh? Are you listening to me? Turn with me to the last scripture for tonight. Daniel chapter 12. How many want to shine? How many want to shine? Say, shine, Jesus, shine. Have you found Daniel chapter 12? Verse number 1. And at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. That is the angel of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, and everyone shall be found that shall be found written in the book. Israel will be troubled greatly at the end of time. And then there's going to be a rapture. Notice verse 12. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, people who are dead, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Everybody who has died will wake up one day, including those who died and were buried in the sea. They will rise from the dead. Verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Notice the second part. It says, and they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. Notice verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Verse 4. Even to the time of the end, when what will happen? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. This is the key sign of the end. That a lot of traveling. There has never been traveling like there was. There is today. So much traveling. And then knowledge shall be increased. I mean, knowledge that I can remove your heart and put another heart. I can remove your kidney, take it out. Knowledge to go to space, to the moon, walk there, come back. Knowledge to fly all over, to do anything, to build anything, do anything, whatever. Supernatural knowledge. So much knowledge. But they that turn many to righteousness. Today God is calling you to join those who turn many to righteousness. God is calling. Sisters, stand up. Ladies, stand up. Ladies in the house. Wow. Lord, bless the ladies tonight. Make evangelists out of them, Lord. Send them to the nations, Lord. Use them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Send them, Lord. Even if the people they marry don't want to do it, Lord. Bless them to be able to do your work. In Jesus' name. Brothers, stand up, please. Brothers. Hey, are there more sisters than brothers in the church? No, I think they're about the same. They are about the same brothers, number of brothers. Oh, brothers. Oh, brothers. What makes you dull spiritually? What makes you dull? Brothers. Huh? What makes you dull? You know what makes you dull? Your search for silver. Your search for gold. I met with some brothers who are looking for wives. As I talked with them, I realized that many people think that money is the answer. Money is not the answer for everything. God is the answer for everything. Brothers, I want you to lay your hands on your heart. I pray against the spirit of dullness. Dullness. Spiritual dullness. Be released from spiritual dullness. Passivity. The search for earthly things be broken in your life. May you have your eyes opened. May you lift up your eyes. to eternal things. Father, I bless your holy name tonight. I thank you that you are releasing servants, evangelists, preachers, for those sheep you spoke about, Jesus, scattered all over the world. Send these ones, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Let the spirit of dullness go away from you. What can we do with a dull brother? What can we do with a dull brother? A spiritually dull brother. What can we do with such a person? What can we do with such a person? Spiritually, you are not active. We cannot talk with you about spiritual things. We only have to talk about money, visa, house, soccer, politics, cars, the different types of cars, girls. May you receive a spirit of excitement concerning the things of God. I tell you, since I started going forward in spiritual things, it's like I've just become like some elderly person. I tell you. I remember going to South Africa. I don't know if Peter was one of the people who came to see me. I think you went there. When they met me at the airport, this was the first time I went there some years ago. They introduced it. They said, "Hello, good afternoon. Where is the bishop?" I said, "I am the bishop that you are looking for." Said, "Oh, we were expecting an elderly man because we've been listening to your tapes and we've been listening. We know that it's a very old man who is very wise, who is saying a whole lot of things." I said, "Oh, it's me. No, I'm the one who has arrived." You see, the word of God makes you wise. It makes you mature. It makes you understand this life before it's over. Most people don't understand what's happening. Try to understand what's happening before it's all over. Try to understand what's happening before it's all over. Years ago, the Lord showed me that there is a curse and everybody is sweating. As I'm walking here, I'm sweating before I'll eat. All of us will sweat before we eat, no matter who you are. Try and understand what's going on before it's too late. Try and understand what life is about before it's all over. Ladies, try and understand what's happening in your life. Try and read the Bible and grow up spiritually. Life will not whip you anymore. You will have a certain understanding and a certain maturity. Try to grow up in this life. I cannot lie to you. I cannot tell you just things that you may want to hear. I have to tell you things that are the word of God. In the last day, this very hour, there will be people who will have so much knowledge, who will travel to and fro so much, but there will also be people who will be turning many to righteousness. As people are moving all over the place, there will be some people who will be turning others to righteousness, to God, to righteousness. There will be preachers. I said there will be preachers. There will be evangelists who will look so foolish in the eyes of the world, but they will go out there and do the work of the Lord. Sometimes people are getting married and you see that because the person is a pastor, it's as though they are marrying a leper. It's as though they are marrying a deficient human being because he's a pastor. But I tell you, one day, and it won't be long, one day, I say one day, whether you are a black man or a white man, it will not matter. Whether you are poor or rich will not matter. Whether you are a woman or a man will not matter. All that will matter is the things that you have piled up in eternity. I'm your pastor. God gave you to me and God gave me to you so that I will tell you these particular words and I will speak the truth of God's word into your life and stir up your spirit so that you rise up and do what he wants you to do with your life. God is not against your family. God is not against your home. God is not against your prosperity. God is the one who has designed prosperity. Sometimes we are deceived. We don't know that when we breathe like that, God has allowed it. Pastors, I can offer to take you on a tour to the mortuary. I will just take you there for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. When you enter and you see what is seen there, perhaps your perspective of this life will even change. Anybody who wants, we must go there to see before you go yourself permanently on your way to wherever you are going. I tell you, then your perspective of this life will change. You see things differently. Paul said that, we look not at the things which are seen, and yet look at us. We look at the things which are seen. Our whole life is look at things which are seen. 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 Have you ever wondered why God uses some of the people you don't respect? Because you, the respectable person, will never allow yourself to be used by God. Have you ever wondered why God uses thieves? Do you know that God uses thieves? Some pastors are thieves and God uses them. Because you who are honest, you will not come. So God will say, you know what? You know what? I'm going to use my thief. I use my stealing pastor, and I'll just use him and I'll do signs and wonders with him. You that are a virgin and whatnot, holy person in the system here, you know, you don't want to give yourself and do anything. So God said, you know what? Can I get a divorcee? Like, Catherine Kuhlman? I think I'll use her. Is there any woman who has stolen somebody's husband before? I can use such a person. And then here she comes. And she doesn't believe much in herself anymore because of her bad experiences. So she comes and says, yes, Lord, I'm here. And then God uses her. But you are the good people. You are the good people in the church. Looking for money, car, house, looking to dwell in the best of places and to go abroad. I was telling Reverend Saki that everybody in Ghana is gone abroad. Anybody in Ghana who can travel will never stay in Ghana. As I'm going, I'm seeing that, you see, it's just like Kolebu. You can pass out as a class of 60 doctors or 70 doctors. After some years, there will be just about 3 or 4 people left in the country. As you go along in life, you see, everybody who can travel goes. Everybody's looking for something. I'm not saying it's wrong to go, but everybody's looking for something. We are searching for something out there. Lord, hey, let me have it, let me have it, let me have it. And God is not the number one. God is number 8. God is number 9. And now we are looking at things which are seen. Things which are seen. Things which are seen. Our lives are oriented. Things which are seen. 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 What about things that are not seen? You think you won't die? You think you won't die? You think you won't die? You keep on. You think you won't die? In a moment, in a flash, if you are lucky, you won't even feel it. But you wake up and see that you are not at the same place again. If you are lucky. If you are not as lucky, you will know that you are going. May you go suddenly and quickly so that you don't feel it. I tell you, you think you won't die. You think it won't come. What I'm saying, you think it won't come. I'm talking, you don't hear. You think it won't come. It's coming like a train coming at full speed. It's coming with speed. Eternal things will now stand out as glorious things. And earthly, temporal things will fade away. Even churches which are based on earthly things will just fade away. You think it will come? 1982, follow me. 1982, there I was in a medical school. Sitting there thinking, I can't finish this school. It's too long. I sat at the back of a classroom with my friend. And as we were writing notes, one exercise book was full. One whole exercise book was full. It's about this. Half of this, almost this, was full. One lecture. I said to her, Carol, are we in the right place? She said, no, we are not in the right place. I said, can we make it? She said, we can't make it. She said, 1989. From now to 1989, we will never finish. 7 years. Look at the notes. One day, one exercise book is finished in one lecture. But 1982 got finished. And 1983 came. And then 1984 came. Then 1985 came. And I got my beloved in 1985. Then 1986 came. 1987 came. 1988 came. We went on Aluta for 1 year. We thought the Aluta would never be over. We thought Rollins would always be able to hold the universities and keep us from going back to school. But that one too came to an end. From the 7th of May 1983, all the universities were closed down in Ghana. until the next year, 1984, in March, we came back. We thought that one too, when the students were sent to go and harvest cocoa, we thought that one would never end. That one too has ended. We thought it would never come, but it has come. 1988 came. I started the church by the grace of God with others. We started. 1989 came. 10th of March, hey, I was out. Not only has 1989 come, 1990 has come, 91 has come, 92 has come, 93 has come, 94 has come, 95 has come, 96 has come, 97 has come, 98 has come, 99 has come, 2000. They said it won't come, but it came. 2000. 2001 came, 2002, 2003, and we are still going strong, strong, solid. You think it won't come? You think the things I'm talking about won't come? Be it known unto you today that as sure as day is followed by night, and as night is followed by day, all the words that I've spoken to you this day, they shall surely come to pass. And you will see that eternal things are heavier, eternal things are weightier, eternal things are the things you must labor for. Labor not for the things that can perish, but for eternal things. You think it won't happen? The day of your death, you should be preparing for that day from this, if you haven't been preparing. Those of you who have things, write wills. You have something, right? If you don't have anything, just be there. Write a will. You, nobody knows the day and the hour. That's when the God hasn't guaranteed it. If God has said to you that, you, in Amos 4:12, he said that, because I'll do this unto you, prepare to meet your God. That's all. Prepare. Prepare. And a day will come when you see that it, earthly things will be here. Bible says our work will be tested. And it will pass through fire. And it will be burnt when it is hay stubble. Sometimes it looks a lot because wood and things, there are a lot. Gold, you see a small one like that. Small but valuable. May you have something small but valuable to show when you arrive here. You know, if I pass through fire now, my whole body will be burned except my ring. My grandfather died, and when my mother went, they showed her her father in a bottle. He's in a bottle. My grandfather is in a bottle. My grandmother is in a bottle. In, not in a bottle, in a jar. You know, jam jar, a small one. Yeah. You think it will happen? It's just time. Why don't you come today? Listen to me. God told me to preach to you. God told me to tell you the truth. I am your pastor. You haven't got any other pastor. I am the pastor God has given to you. I am the messenger from God to you. Hear the word of the Lord. You will be judged because of what you are hearing. Other churches will not be judged by what they are hearing, this message that you are hearing. And all these messages, they are different. They will be judged by what they know. You will be judged by what you know. Come on and prosper. Come on and release. God wants to bless you with the highest blessing. God told me when I started out, he said to me, this road, as you are walking, you will see gold on the way. And I, it was a vision. And I saw a heap of gold like tipper truck that has offloaded sand. It was gold. And when I got there, the Lord said, don't stop, don't stop. You can take some and then be moving. But don't stop. He said that the road is long and this gold is on the way. More. I'm not stopping. I'm preaching. I'm moving on the way. The way that God has called me. And on the way, there are many blessings. And that is not what my heart is after. My heart is to stay on his will. My heart is one day I'll see him and he'll say, well done. You are a messenger for me. You love the people I came to die for. You also gave your life that they may be saved. Today, God wants to use you with power. There's power in your hands if you are born again Christian. But who will you ever lay hands on? Who will you ever pray for? Except you come and get involved in his work. God is raising you up. We are going to begin a new special test service on Thursdays. We'll be announcing you the details soon. Outreach, prayer, revival, service. We are all going to participate. Eternal things. Lord, I want eternal. Look, me, I have served the Lord. I have not lost anything. When people say sacrifice, what have I sacrificed? I tell my wife, don't speak about sacrifice in the house. What have I sacrificed? God has blessed me. I can see people struggling in this world. Struggling and hustling. How many are struggling and hustling? Huh? Struggling at the back. How many are struggling and hustling? Oh, man. But God is going to take you higher. You mark my words. As you come along, I say, as you come along, you will come out of the struggle. You will come out of the hustle. You will come into a blessing. You will come into stability. You will come into peace. You won't think about money because God will bless you. It's possible. I said, it's possible. I said, it's possible. I said, it's possible. He will do it for you. Pastor Temple, he'll do it for you. More abundantly. More abundantly. Allow yourself to become a preacher. Think about shining as a star one day. Golden. Shining as a star. Shining as a... Stand up, Golden. When we get to heaven, they will not ask whether you are Nigerian, or they will ask whether you are Ghanaian, or what's your passport, or what's your color, or what's your tribe, or what state you come from. They will say, this is a redeemed of the Lord. This one is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That is all that will matter. And now they will see whether you have anything eternal. Anything eternal, or everything is in Accra, or everything is in Mamprovi, or you left everything somewhere where you were. They will ask, is there anything eternal about this person? I ask you today as you go back to your houses, is there anything eternal about you? Is there anything eternal about you? You see a pastor preaching and praying, it's like he doesn't work. It's like he's just in the house. Is there anything eternal? We are doing eternal things. Eternal things. The altar of incense is just before the veil. And the incense goes and it moves into the through the veil and it goes into the presence of God. And we, the pastors and the priests, we are burning the incense and approaching the holiness of God and approaching the inner holiest of holies before the Lord, intercede and cry for mercy for us all. What would we do without this mercy? You say, we are doing nothing. May God raise you up. And may he do that miracle in your heart. My sister, God will give you the child. Somebody here, God is giving you a child right now. Receive it. You will have the children and you will be kicking them. Oh, will you clear off? I want to pray. Tired of you now. You will have the carpet. But you will have the Lord. And one day, you will have something eternal. Nobody may be able to point to you. This particular statement keeps ringing. One of my pastors asked me, why didn't Jesus build a church? And I realized that he wasn't building anything earthly. He was building eternal things. Stand to your feet. All right. Lift your hands to the Lord, everyone. We are not going to be long tonight. Within a few minutes, I believe we'll be out of here. But just for the few minutes that we are going to be here, I want you to raise your hands to the Lord and just thank him everywhere. Thank him. Thank him. What is eternal about you tonight? What is eternal about you? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, we thank you. If you are here tonight and you want to be an evangelist, believe God is calling you to be an evangelist. I want you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. You want to be an evangelist? Come to the front. If you don't want to be an evangelist, don't come, please. If you want to be an evangelist, you believe God is calling you to be an evangelist, come to the front. Just stand right here. Just all of you, just stand. Please, if you don't believe God is calling you, please don't come at all. I beg you. It's very important that you don't come, because you will just make us spend a lot of time. I thank God for the people that have come here, because many of the people who are standing here are not respected in society. They are not prominent people in society. Nobody knows most of these people, but God knows. Lift your hands. Everyone lift your hands to the Lord. Breathe upon me, breath of God. Father, we thank you in the name.
Breath of God. Breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord. As I lift my hands in surrender to your name,
I'm yielding to your spirit.
I am yielding to your spirit,
and I'm walking,
and I'm walking.
Adore. Jesus, I adore.
Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore your holy name.
All right. All those of you in front here, lift up your hands to the Lord. Spirit of the living God. Give me this mic. Is it on? Put it on. Spirit of the Lord. Just ask the Lord to touch your life right now. Just ask the Lord to touch your life. Spirit of the Lord, I pray. Lord, there are evangelists here. There are evangelists here. There are evangelists here. Touch their lives, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lamarada lamanam berelevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedevedeved Hello. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Breathe upon them, Lord. Your great power, your great Holy Spirit. Evangelists, God is hearing your prayer tonight. He will make you into great evangelists. He will use you for great things. He's using you. He's using you. He's using you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, thank you. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your touch, your power, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your great touch, your great power, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. All those of you in front here, just close your eyes for a moment. Just gently. Just lift your hands in the front here. Just quiet. Holy Spirit, I pray for the lost souls of the world and for these ones standing here. Lord, no one can put himself into the ministry. Only you, Lord. I pray, fill them right now. Receive the filling of the Spirit. Receive the touch of the Lord. Receive it now. Receive it. Take in a deep breath right now and receive. God is ministering to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we receive it. Bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. For the future will tell it all. The future will tell whether God is real. Whether he does wonderful things or not. The future will tell it all. 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 Jesus. Receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. The future will tell it all. The future. The future. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for all these ones that have come up in front here. I bless them, Lord. For tomorrow will tell it all what great things you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.